What's up, Myco family? Welcome to the Mycotrophic Podcast, a weekly conversation series cultivating a culture for cultivators, designed for the passionate enthusiast, master mycologist, healers growing their own medicine, and psychonauts alike. This podcast is for mind, body, spirit, and mushroom. If this is your first time listening, consider subscribing for future episodes. Also, if you like what you hear today, make sure to share with your family and friends. Also, you can leave us a positive review on whatever platform you're listening on, whether that be Apple iTunes Music or Spotify. Now, with that said, let's get into it. What's going on, Myco family? Mycotrophic here, and welcome back to the podcast where together we are going to grow in mind, body, spirit, and mushroom. First and foremost, just want to give a huge thank you to everybody who's been supporting the podcast so far. Of course, we're only on episode 2, but we've received an amazing amount of support and reviews via Spotify. I think we're something at like 50 plus reviews, 5-star reviews there. That's quite the premiere if you ask me. Also, wanted to very quickly let you guys know everywhere that we're streaming. So if you have a preferred platform of streaming or listening to podcasts, we are also on there as well. So the list goes like this: Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Overcast, Amazon Music and Audible, Castbox, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and Stitcher. So that's where we're streaming from. Audible, Anchor is quite the platform to be able to differentiate and to stream to multiple places. That's my primary home for my podcast. Just want to let you guys know that off the bat. And speaking of reviews, we're going to just roll right into this with our first segment of the show, shoutouts and reviews. So, of course, we have about 50 plus 5-star ratings, I should say, on Spotify. But if you go over to Apple, you can actually leave a comment, and I'm going to read those. So I've got two of them. We're going to read the first one. The topic or title is Just the Beginning. It's left by Error Message 246. Says, strapping for the ride. It's clear this podcast is going to be fulfilling a greater purpose of healing, education, and consciousness. Mycotrophic is constantly creating safe spaces for those of us interested in mycology and the healing power that mushrooms tap into. I've already learned so much through Mycotrophic. I'm excited and inspired that he continues to follow his truth as a teacher and mentor. Thank you for being courageous enough to share your vulnerabilities so that we may feel empowered and connected. Plus, I think we can all agree his voice is perfect for this. Wow. Thank you so much. That's quite the review. That's amazing. Thank you. Really appreciate that. And that's on Apple. And then we have the second one. I'm just going to go ahead and read it because these are going to start flowing in. And we have two today, but I'm going to read it anyway. This one is from actually a fellow grower, Miss Boomer Shroomer herself, Ashley Enders. It is titled, Can't Wait. This is another 5-star. It says, looking forward to hearing more about your journey. It was crazy to hear your story about how you found mycology. Thank you for all you do for the community. Heart emoji, mushroom emoji. Wow, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much. And of course, if you guys want to be featured on our next segment of shoutouts and reviews, go ahead and head over to Apple iTunes Podcasts and leave a 5-star review. And go ahead and drop a comment down below. All right, so now we're going to roll into the episode. This episode is dedicated to bag tech. You guys, we are going to be talking about bags versus tubs. This is probably the most, I don't want to say controversial. I'm not going to try to make it sound like it's something crazy. The most controversial topic of mycology today in 2022, bags or tubs. It's nothing crazy. I just was inspired by a few different people that I saw in the community via Instagram who were dabbling into bags, and I'm going to tell you about my entry into using bags and the, you know, trials, tribulations I went through to like really honing it in. And now I've got it, you know, mastered for the most part. So, you know, first I got to give a shout out to Myco Valley. I first saw Myco Valley doing bags and I was intrigued because he was getting great results for, you know, for what it was. And, I thought I would experiment, try it out. it was kind of like a, not a trend, but it was just something, you know, from other friends who were in the industry locally and online. Friends of friends were doing all bags, and I'm like, why? Like, what is it to bags that makes it, you know, superior or different? So of course, you know, I like to learn by failure. So I was like, well, time to fail, time to learn. So I decided to do some trials. My very first trial was a crapshoot, to say the least. So what I actually ended up doing was taking a 9-pound substrate bag, because I was doing tubs at the time, so I was getting my substrate in 9-pound bags, and I put an entire 3-pound bag of spawn into this 9-pound bag, and I just thought I was going to get this like massive amount of, you know, fruiting bodies up top, which I did. I ran the True Albino Melmec Penis Envy variety, really cool variety. It's a tat variant, and I was expecting like a full flush up top and didn't really realize, you know, microclimates, the consolidation, and what was going to happen if you had all this biomass. You know, like I would say like what, three quarters of the bag was just, you know, biomass, substrate, and grain. And I had this just very little bit of, I don't know why I didn't think of this prior. I mean, you got to do it to understand, obviously, but like the top, like one quarter of the bag was enough space for some mushrooms to grow. And I ended up just cutting the bag at the top of substrate, harvesting, and just throwing it away, 'cause I was like, how am I going to get a second flush on this? So I then reached out to some friends. We had a, like, you know, half an hour long conversation when I was picking up some substrate about like, what are you guys using? What, you know, what varieties you're running? What ratios are you running? And eventually got down to, and I guess I'll kind of give you guys the recipe. I'll give you guys my ratios as well of what I'm doing for bags and that whole scheme as well. So pros and cons. Let's start with cons of tubs. I know a lot of you guys are starting out, and there's a lot of content on YouTube. Maybe I'm not in the Reddit world. I've peaked and I just don't like it. Facebook, I've seen a lot of people growing in tubs. And again, I grew in tubs for quite some time, and I'm not opposed to it. I think some varieties do better in tubs. Maybe talk about that too. But for the most part, it was more, I guess, I think my overlapping or overwhelming thought was, if I'm able to split this up, you know, like at least one tub's worth of, you know, sub and grain into like three bags, if one of the bags gets contamination, then I have, you know, more than likely, you know, better chances, because, you know, it's more about mitigating your failures, mitigating error, so that you have more success. Considering contamination is, you know, a commonality in mycology, at least in this field or this realm, right? And that's exactly what I did, because, you know, if you're running a tub, let's say you get like just even a quarter size, a dime size of, you know, trichoderma built up in that tub. Essentially, you guys, and a lot of you will say, you know, spray it to all hell with peroxide. Some of you guys will say, you know, hit it with the alcohol, hit it with the flame, or just cut it out. You know, if you have any bit of trichoderma penicillium in your tub, the green molds, it's sporulating, and it's dropping spores everywhere in that tub. So it may not be expressed in its first run. You may actually have some success, but more than likely, a couple things are going to happen. Fruiting bodies are going to catch the trichoderma, and they're almost going to start rotting, and it's going to spread on the actual mushrooms themselves, which you don't want. You don't want to be ingesting that. You don't want your friends and family ingesting anything that's trichoderma or any kind of molds, you know, just in general. The only molds that I eat are, you know, cultured cheeses. And those are like, you know, or kombucha, like molds and bacteria that are beneficial. That's about all you should be doing. But you're looking for a tummy ache for sure if you're going to be eating any kind of green molds and things like that. So you want to try to avoid it, right? Also, now, if it doesn't express itself in the first flush, when you go to rehydrate your cake, you're going to spread even faster and even more the green molds that were present, may not expressing themselves. So even before you get that second flush, you're going to have an entire cake just covering, you know, being covered in trich. Also too, if you're growing in a space where you have multiple tubs, you know, 3 to 4, 10, whatever you guys are doing, then opening that container, allowing those, you know, trichoderma spores to disperse, can lead to possible contamination of, you know, not just your your other tubs, but you know, it can be on your grains, it can be on your lab equipment, it can be in your lungs. You just want to try to avoid this. So that was my biggest thing. I was like, well, at least if I use bags, if I get some trike in there, it's going to be contained and I can just throw it away. I will say that with my process over the last 6+ months, however long I've been doing bags now, I have not lost one bag to trichoderma. I'm not even kidding. And wouldn't be surprised if I go in there and I'm like, God damn it, got some trike. But you know, it's, I've gotten it down to where I'm not, we're knock on wood, right? I've just gotten it down to where it's not, it's just not in my wheelhouse. It's not something I see. I see more like bacteria's like yeast and things like that. But I don't really see it a lot. I haven't seen it in a long time. And if I lose a bag, like the brick, I'll call them a brick for this, you know, because it's closer to a brick than it is a cake, you know, considering bag versus tub. If I've lost a bag, it's been to bacteria. So I just have either had stunted growth or I've, you know, I've just not gotten a second flush, which, you know, shows that the mycelium's like, oof, not a good environment to be fruiting, or, you know, nutrients are locked up because it's competing with another bacteria that's trying to, you know, inhabit that area or trying to benefit from the grains, the sugars, carbs, and the other mineralistic compounds that are in the bag, in the nutrients. So number one was like cleanliness, you know. So let's get into ratios. So really quickly, generally when I was doing tubs, I was doing a 1-to-3 ratio. I was using 9 pounds of substrate and I was using a 3 pound spawn bag. And getting into ratios, we're also at the same time going to talk about plastic usage, plastic waste. Mycology, let's just get this, you know, on the table real quickly. In mycology, it's very well known, and like, you know, specifically the gourmet mushroom culture, that you're going to use bags that's going to be wasteful. You know, a lot of you guys are, you know, like, I'm going to use straight jars, going to reuse my line. Go ahead, mazel tov. But I'm just telling you guys, you're going to use plastic, whether it's petri dishes, whether you're, you know, cutting out trash bags for liners, or you're throwing away the bag that you're, you know, you're colonizing your grain in, at some shape or form, you have, and I think at some point, you, if you're not thinking about this, you probably should. For me, switching to bags was huge for saving plastic, and we're going to get into that too. Excuse me. So the ratio now with my bags, I'm getting my pre-made 3 pound substrate bags, getting them from MycoAlchemy, and I'm splitting, and I'm still going with 3 pound spawn bags, putting like just one, you know, 100 millimeter dish, fully colonized plate into the bag, letting it colonize. And then I'm splitting. That's one thing we'll touch on. I'm splitting the spawn bag into 2 3 pound substrate bags. So I'm doing 3 pounds of sub, 1.5 pounds of spawn. So I'm actually doing a 1-to-2 ratio. And with the 3 pounds of substrate, which comes in an XLSA bag, I know a lot of you guys are going to ask, well, what size bag? The bags that MycoAlchemy uses for their substrate, they're longer. They're not like longer in length. They're more like in width, a little bit longer as well. The XLSA bags, they're unicorn bags. And this allows for your, after you've mixed everything, for your cake to be about the same that it would in a tub. And once it consolidates and fully colonizes, it's going to shrink a little bit. And you're going to get about that 2.5 close, you know, yeah, 2.5 inches of depth of substrate. That's very important. If you guys haven't watched my Tub Talk video on YouTube, the whole reasoning behind the depth of your substrate is very important for the mycelium and for your mushroom growing needs, okay? So my old process with bags was, or with tubs, excuse me, with tubs was I was getting a 10, you know, what is it, a 56 quart Sterilite tub. To, just like a lot of you guys from Home Depot, I was drilling 2 holes on the wide sides, 1 hole up top on the long sides. You know, I've had a video like that, and believe it or not, one of the videos that YouTube demonetized and actually removed was how to drill out a monotub. I don't know why. Maybe it was the words I used, whatever. Not even the music. Regardless, so you know, I would put the micropore tape over the holes. I would put painter's tape for colonization. And I was using a trash bag. I was putting a trash bag into, you know, for the liner into the base of this. So one, that's one waste already, the trash bag. Some of you guys are reusing them probably, but time wise, my time is most important to me. So ultimately I'm trying to move in everything I do, whether it's the gym, you know, meal prepping, you know, any kind of business, whatever I'm doing, editing, you know, software, you know, you name it, I'm going for time efficiency. My time is my most valuable asset. It's the one thing that I have that I don't get more of. So I'm trying to better always utilize my time. So then I was using one bag of substrate, which was 9 pounds, emptying all the substrate into the tub, then removing and throwing away the bag, the XLSA, whatever kind of bag that the substrate came in. That's waste number two. And then I was taking one bag of spawn, which was, you know, the 3 pounds, I think 10 T bags I was using, or I'm using. I also get my grain from MicroAlchemy these days too. They use Milo. It's really cool. I like Milo for multiple points of inoculation, and nutrient wise, I think it's superior as well. Faster colonization rates, anything like that. But anyway, so with that, then I was throwing away the bag that the spawn came in. Now you can reuse those bags. If you rinse them out, pressure sterilize. I've seen a few people, guys like, oh gosh, the user handle is passing me, but I've seen people clean and then reuse these bags for grain and for substrate. You can do that totally. Again, it's depending upon your systems, your process, and your time and your energy and your money. Okay. Everyone's situation is different. I'm just telling you guys about my situation and my story. Okay. So next, so think of that. So liner, substrate bag, grain bag, trash. Now I'm getting like two and a half flushes, depending on the variety, out of the tub. And then I'm throwing away the cake, and I'm throwing away the liner, and then I'm restarting this, right? And then, oh gosh, the bane of my existence while growing in tubs, cleaning tubs. It's cool if you have two or three, but if you're, you know, really expanding and doing genetic work and you want to do multiple at the same time, then you're going to have 10 plus tubs, you know, that are just sitting there. At least they were just staring at me, just dirty. And for most of you, some of you are in apartment complexes. You don't really have a yard or pressure washers. So it may be kind of difficult for you to wash these things. For me, I know I was doing this in my bathtub, and I was in my living room stacking these for them to dry. It takes up space, takes a lot of time, and it's just, you know, it's just something you have to maintain. So that's a good point and a bad point, right? So with bags now, of course, I'm taking the same amount of substrate, and when the substrate from MicroAlchemy, it comes in, you know, an XLSA bag, it's pre-pasteurized, and what I'm doing is I'm opening the substrate bag and I'm splitting a 3 pound spawn bag into two different bags of substrate. So I'm utilizing the spawn bag. Of course, the spawn bag is still trash, but here's the cool thing. The sub bag, or the bag that the sub comes in, we're going to use that for colonization and for fruiting. And we're getting multiple flushes. We're getting two and a half, depending on the variety, flushes out of the bags. And once the bags are done, again, you can use them again, or like me, you can just toss them. So I've cut back my plastic usage by, I don't have a percentage. I would say, what, 30, 40%. I'm not using liners anymore. I'm not buying trash bags for liners. I'm better utilizing the substrate bags. They're the actual container. And I'm getting to split, because I'm still using the same process with my grain, being able to split my my spawn into two different substrate bags. So those are kind of like the biggest things for me. And so all that time I was using cleaning tubs, things like that, I'm now allotting to other things of my life. You know, just like anybody else, I have a life. I have a lady friend. I have family. I have a dog. I have work, you know. So, you know, and I'm over here doing this podcast. I have a lot of things I'm choosing to allocate time to, and now I get more time back. My time is what's most important to me. And for results, I'm getting the same results, if not better. I'm not losing an entire tub due to, you know, trichoderma or anything drying out. The moisture and everything is contained perfectly within the substrate and within the confines of the bag. So once it's sealed up top, it's good to go. It colonizes. Yeah, I do a little bit of labeling. And if you guys want any visual understanding of what I'm doing here with the bags, you guys can go to patreon.com/Michael Trovic and become a patron. And you can see I have a couple videos on my process of how I'm doing bags. You know, you put your substrate into the substrate bag, do a couple, you know, turns to mix it over, do some padding down, and then you put a rubber band over to help with side pins, let it colonize, let it fruit, show you how I harvest, you know, how to reuse the bag after harvest. I'll go over all of that so you guys can check that out on the Patreon. And really quickly, we're going to stop for our first ad. Yeah, I did that. I recorded an ad. So here it is, a word from our sponsor. This episode's sponsor is brought to you by MycoAlchemy. MycoAlchemy is a family-owned and operated mycology supply business based out of Lake Elsinore, California. The guys over at MycoAlchemy are dedicated to their craft and focused on providing clean, consistent, and quality mycology products ready for pickup or shipped directly to your door. Guys, I haven't poured my own agar, made my own substrate, or pressure sterilized grain in months. Whether you're a beginner or master mycologist, MycoAlchemy's products will save you time, money, and worry. Not only do these guys have excellent, high-quality products, but they're also some of my really good friends and mentors. So if you guys want to utilize some of their products in your grow, you guys can go to myco-alchemy.com. And if you're listening to this ad, you can receive 5% off your next order by using the discount code MycoTrophic. Also, you can check them out on their Instagram at MycoAlchemy_. I know that you'll enjoy their products just like I do, so good growing. Let the guys at MycoAlchemy know that MycoTrophic sent you. Alrighty, so we're back and we're going to get right back into, I guess, the next shift or level of bags. So a lot of you guys have questions of how the mycelium and mushrooms perform in bags because they are in higher CO2 environments. So I've got a couple tips and tricks as to how to modulate or to work with the gas exchange, not so much the air exchange, and we'll get right into that. So first of all, like I said, on my Patreon and in my tutorials, I show you how I make slits in the bag, how I put micropore tape over them, and that's just to kind of let gas exchange, more like CO2, to be released from the bag, and for a little bit of oxygen to kind of creep back in, okay? And if it is, it's going through, you know, micropore tape, so which is a little filtered, more so filtered. So now the biggest thing with me with the bags is, of course, like every variety has a different growth rate, you know, not just in the bags, but also just like on the plates themselves, on grain, and then also how it colonizes in substrate, and then the rate at which, you know, primordia forms, and sometimes they're a little bit more sensitive. Like someone asked me like yesterday, like on Instagram, they said, you know, what variety should I grow first? Are some easier than others? Yeah, some are easier than others. A lot of the sporulators, the ones that kind of look like your general cubensis. My first was B+, and then I moved to the phenotypical golden teacher, and then I ran Mazatec, and they all kind of slightly differ in size and density and things like that, sporulation. But for the most part, those are going to be your easiest ones. They just seem to do really, really well no matter what. If you've got your moisture content, field capacity on point, if you've got clean grain, which, you know, requires clean cultures, I think our next episode, I'm going to at least touch on sterile technique because it's so simple, but it's like so overlooked. It's probably the most important key in mycology. And of course, like flow hoods and things like that. I'll probably talk about that later. But with bags in this conversation, I find that I can grow every variety that I've ever grown. And I've grown probably close to 50 the last few years, just trialing and erroring, you know, and figuring out which ones I like, which ones are good for macrodoses, which ones are good for microdoses, you know, doing my own personal research of like the subtle differentials of inexperience. And, you know, I've come to find that they all have a slightly different alkaloid profile or an enormously larger and different alkaloid profile, just depending on the quickness of intensity of how fast you're feeling the effects of the compounds. You know, some make me sleepy, some make me more, you know, up and awake. Some are like super, you know, quote, spiritual. Some are like angry. I've had the full experience with all of them, and I've kind of gotten it down to like now I only run about 4 to 5 at a time. Just some of my favorites, the ones I'm continually doing genetic work on, like the Ghost, which is a True Albino Teacher variant. Growing Steel Magnolia right now, which is a Blue Magnolia Penis Envy cross. I'm growing my own personal crosses of Jack Frost and Trinity, which is the Jack 3T, and then my Pride and Joy, which is my Ghost in Trinity, which is the Holy Ghost. I've also got some cool content on the process I've gone through. I've just now put the Generation 3, which, you know, the process of stabilization. That's another topic or idea. You know, I've gotten into the stabilizing of the genetics to make sure they're good to go. And all of these have performed well in bags. And I've ran like the Thrasher Penis Envy. What else have I ran? The Albino Penis Envy, the OG Blue Cap Ape, which is one of my all-time favorites. I've ran Mazatec in bags. And for the most part, I've had success with all of these. I think where it can get tricky is like, you know, the ones that grow slower, you know, like, you know, people are expecting these things to fruit in like 2 weeks. You know, it's not a Mazatec. And also too, in which, you know, you'll start to get primordia and pinning happening. And then, you know, a couple will come up and then people think they have some kind of bacteria and they're sending me photos on Instagram. I'm like, give it some time. You know, like for instance, the Steel Magnolia, will pop up a few, and then all of a sudden within like a 2 day time frame, the rest of the upper area of the cake will fill in with fruiting bodies, and they'll all explode and engorge at the same time. I find that I get more even pin sets with the growing in bags as well. I haven't really gotten like spotty, you know, growth like I would sometimes in tubs if there was a CO2 or hydration error. But I think I attribute this to, you know, my first couple runs where I saw that when I didn't make slits of the bags were literally inflated because of the off-gassing of the mycelium, you know, creating CO2. Just like mushrooms, and just like, I should say, just like humans, mushrooms or mycelium actually intake oxygen and output CO2. Kind of a cool fact if you ask me. But you know, so when they're in higher CO2 conditions, sometimes I've seen in the past, you'll have, you know, delayed growth. You'll also see like spotty growth. And if you have fruiting bodies, they will degrade faster in a higher CO2 environment because the mushrooms themselves are not breathing. So they're starting to degrade just like we would without oxygen, right? So with that said, adding slits in the bag, putting some micropore tape and letting the CO2 out allows for a little bit of some leeway. And of course, you know, once, you know, and I don't grow any sporulators, I don't, other than the Jack 3T, which I kind of am putting to the side now. I'll use it for further genetic work later, but, or projects, breeding projects. But at the moment, I only grow, quote, exotics. I grow the Ghost, the, you know, Penis Envy variants, and then my newest one, the Holy Ghost. None of them sporulate. None of them drop spores. You can collect spore swabs, and I do that periodically for, you know, continuing or furthering the genetics or trying to get genetic variations or differential and phenotypes. But other than that, I'm, you know, I'll do it, you know, every once in a while. But yeah, I've gotten it down to just a few. And I like the Penis Envy varieties or the exotics because you can let them go and kind of, quote, ripen for a day or two. A lot of people ask me, I've gotten asked 2 or 3 times this last week, when are these ready? Steel Magnolia, Ape. And usually they're like, you know, really tough, hard, when they're done, or when they're finishing, and then, you know, you'll get, a break of the veil, and right around there, that's when they're ready. But like with the Penis Envy varieties, you can let them go a little longer and let them, you know, they'll, like I said, ripen, they'll get a little soft, and when they're there, it's perfect. It doesn't, you know, degrade your product or doesn't degrade the process at all. But I would say the longer that you wait, that tissue is going to break down, will rot, and then essentially will turn into trichoderma, which it's game over from there. So, yeah, so genetic work going into the bags, for instance, and I got this tip from a friend of a friend, you know, before I even started growing bags, and I was like, really? It was really interesting to me to know that you essentially have to do genetic work for the, you have to do genetic work for the mycelium to basically perform better in different conditions. This could be said for cannabis also. This can be said for, you know, any vegetable for the most part. Like you can do genetic work over time to have these, you know, these plants and different things somewhat adapt to an environment. So how I do that is through tissue work. Okay. So of course you could take a swab and you could do a multi-spore kind of thing and you can see what pops up, you know, and you're gonna have different morphologies and different growth rates and things like that. But I find it a lot easier to, and what I did was I just ran the same variety. Like let's, for instance, I did like the OG Blue Cap Ape and I did something like 6 different bags. So 3 or 6, you know, 6 3-pound substrate bags, 3 different spawn bags, and, you know, divvied up them into the 6 bags. And over time, watched them colonize. And what was cool was like 2 of the 6 bags, for whatever reason, decided, you know, to pin first and fruit first and were done before the rest. So knowing that, I opened the bags. I looked for the, you know, the most not average, not the largest, not the smallest, but like medium size. And as far as morphology and, you know, genetic work, as far as honing in exactly what you want for morphology and size, it's completely up to you and the user or the grower. But I looked for something that was cool to me that I would want to see reproduced, and I plucked it. And in front of my flow hood, I opened the fruiting body, took tissue, and put it to an agar plate to kind of capture and isolate that trait of that mushroom. Not mostly because of the size, but because of its performance. And now, if I spawn or have spawned like 6 bags, all of the bags are fruiting at the same time. So there's a lot to say about doing tissue cultures and isolation work to adhere to the higher CO2 environments. Now, I know some of you guys are going to say, well, I don't make slits in my bags and I have great performance. That's cool. Maybe depending on the temperature of your room, you know, which I always keep my lab at about 72 to 74 degrees Fahrenheit. And that's to, you know, also keep in mind that within the tub or the bag, whatever your growing area, it's probably going to be like 1 to 2 degrees higher. And you don't want to kind of go over that 74 range. You can increase colonization rates, but you can't really, you're going to also speed up bacterial growth and things like that, non-beneficial bacteria and stuff like that. And also stretching your mycelium and kind of stressing it out. You want to kind of, just like with cannabis, you want to keep a momentum. You want your clones to be happy and healthy. You know, you when you do your transplants, you want them to be happy and healthy so they grow out into their new pots. You know, and when they're, you know, transitioning into from veg to like flower, you want that momentum to stay. You don't want any bumps or hiccups. You know, you don't want to like overwater and, you know, waterlog the roots. You don't want to like, you know, do plant maintenance and, you know, really irritate the plant. You want to keep momentum, just like with plants, you want to do that with mycelium. So I like to keep a good temperature. I don't really care too much about humidity and things of that nature. I just try to keep it to, you know, the temperature. Because if you have proper field capacity and you have clean cultures, you know, spawn going into substrate, you're going to be gravy regardless. You're going to have great success even if you get into the higher temperatures. Now, if you're in Florida, maybe places like Arizona, even in California, where it's a little bit hotter, you're going to have to, you know, cool your rooms a little bit. You have to increase the airflow and you have to keep it cooler. This is kind of the, I would rather, and I've always opted to go low and slow, let them grow versus hot and heavy and then possibly running into bacterias and really stressing it and slowing the momentum of the mycelium. So that's what I got to say about bags. And I would love to hear your guys' feedback. Go ahead and leave a review on Apple. Let me know, are you a tub grower or are you a bag grower? This is really awesome. Just to see the, not the split in the community, but to see people branching out and trying both, or, you know, both ways. I did tubs for quite some time. That's how I learned. It was like my preferred method. And I was like, tubs forever, you know, bro, you know, daps, the whole thing. And now I'm like, bag life. L-Y-F-E, bag life. I'm all about it. So yeah, let me know what you guys think. Also, you know, send me a message on Instagram. If you're in the Discord, if you're one of my patrons listening, let's start another conversation about this. We also talk about bag tech, bag fruiting like that in the Discord as well. So if you guys aren't there, get there. Can't wait to see you. Come for the content, stay for the community. But anyways, guys, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. And with that said, Namaste. Have a great day. Don't contemplate. Meditate. See you guys on the next one. Peace. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to this episode of the Microtrophic Podcast. I hope that you enjoyed and that you'll join me for the next episode. So make sure to subscribe and to leave us a 5-star review. You'll have the chance of being featured on our next episode's first segment of Shoutouts and Reviews. You can also find me on Instagram at Microtrophic Podcast. You can also find me on YouTube at youtube.com/microtrophic. Also, you can join a growing community of 300 plus like-minded individuals on my Patreon at patreon.com/microtrophic for exclusive content, giveaways, and a community of new and experienced growers sharing growing technique, experience, and just having a sense of community, a safe environment to express yourself. And we're all doing this on our community Patreon Discord server. So until next time, namaste. Have a good day. Don't contemplate. Meditate. See you on the next one.